Shocker, you ever worn cowboy boots?
I think just at theme parties. I've never owned a pair.
No.
No, I have not owned a pair, but I don't do the whole cowboy thing very well.
No, so who do you think could pull off a cowboy look better, you or Majot? Like cowboy hat, boots, you know, the collared shirt, the Wrangler pants.
I'd say the young buck, probably. I would go with the young fellow. Probably pull off that look.
Okay, because so you kind of got thicker legs, so the tight jeans, you know, you might like them a little bit, right?
Yeah,
little,
yeah.
Not huggers for you. That might be good.
Radio then.
So hey, I think that's a Halloween costume right there. You and Majot should just go as cowboys. Awesome.
Couple of grown men dressed as cowboys in the streets of Sherwood Park.
Yeah, totally, man. I can get some cow dung to wipe all over your boots and like on the cuffs of your boots and shoes if you want.
Hey, what year was the song written, by the way? I just feel like that song's always been around.
What song?
The theme song for Chevy Farm.
Oh, Westgate Chevy. Yeah, you know, it's a good question.
Around forever.
Gord's been around for a long time. We'll have to ask them. I'll have to ask them. When did they come up with the legend of the Chevy Farm? That's a really good question. Any trivia buffs out there?
It's so country too, man. It's the toughest car song there is. People come from far and wide to put those two to tail.
Oh, that's true. See, I knew you could sing it. Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Thing jingles all day long. I love it.
Ooh. I could probably do the whole thing. Although since the segment is sponsored by our friends at United Cycle, I'm trying to think if they have a jingle. I don't think they have a specific jingle.
No, they don't. But that's all good. United Cycle's great. But yeah, they don't have a jingle. No, they don't have one. But they, you know, they don't have, like, Gord's been around. You know, he's the legend of the Chevy Farm. He's been around a long time. So it's just kind of different. Yeah. So the legends of the Edmonton Oilers, I think, is yet to be determined by any stretch. But tonight will be Todd McClellan's first opportunity to see Reinhardt and Nurse in person. And he talked about the importance of that as a coach. He really wants to see those guys. And that's why a lot of the Calgary lineup's going again tonight.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, it's fair, right? I think it genuinely did bother Todd McClellan that here these guys are fighting and clawing for their chance to be in the NHL, and they're playing a game, and one of the main guys making the decisions isn't even there to see it. I think that genuinely bothers him, and he said he does not like split squad games for that reason. Those guys are out there, you know, working their butts off, and they don't have the head coach's attention, and that's an issue. It's not the same watching it online, as you know. So I like the logic that he employed here. The fact that he has decided to give most of those guys that were in Calgary the other night a fair shake in front of him tonight, I think that's just another example of Todd McClellan trying to run a fair camp and trying to be fair to everyone and let everybody have an equal opportunity. And I think the players respect that.
Oh, and that's all you want is an opportunity to go. And just because you're not in Group A doesn't guarantee that you're out, but you definitely probably have to impress a little bit more maybe than those who are currently in Group A.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, he talked about there having been 10 or 11 guys over the years in San Jose who made that jump. Guys who came in were clearly in that American Hockey League grouping that made the hop over to the NHL side and ended up staying and playing for him. Andrew Desjardins is the best example. He was undrafted, East Coast League player, and there was a year where he was in that AHL camp, ended up playing on the team. Justin Braun, same thing. Alex Stalock, the netminder. I know there's a couple of other ones as well. They're not jumping to mind right at the moment. But it's happened before, and that was the message he wanted to make clear to the guys was, other guys have done this before. There is hope. But at the same time, you know it's motivation for those other guys. So for Darnell Nurse tonight, I can't imagine. I don't think we've seen a hungrier Darnell Nurse than we'll see tonight. I mean, he was hungry the other night in Calgary, did a good job there. Tonight he's going to show up after having practiced 2 days with Group B, and he's going to want to practice in Group A tomorrow. And he has a chance tonight to prove he belongs in Group A. And I have a sneaking suspicion if he plays well tonight, he'll find himself in Group A tomorrow.
Oh, well, exactly. And I think if you're a nurse, you and it's not about the fighting. That obviously, I think, gets them noticed without a doubt. And, you know, based on my article today in the Edmonton Journal, you can tell where I stand on the order's cohesiveness. And did you happen to read Jeff Petrie's comments on the TSN website about, you know, he said in Toronto, in Montreal, it's the closest team he's played for. He's only played for two NHL teams. But he said, no clicks going on in their own direction. Everyone's going the same direction and has the same goal.
Yeah. I recall, and that's an interesting thing to say. I don't know. Whatever. Every team has clicks. The Oilers have done a lot of losing the last few years, and so there's going to be a lot of residual effects of that, and guys are going to be grumpy, and it's not a news flash that things probably weren't great in that dressing room the last 5 or 6 years while Petrie's been around, right? So sure, you go somewhere new and it's a playoff team and a team that has had some recent success, and it's going to feel different. It's going to feel better. It's going to feel more upbeat and more positive, and that's reflective in Petrie's comments. So I don't know that I would take it as some crazy indictment on it's just all the losing, right? It's just all the losing. I don't think it means the room's full of a bunch of bad guys.
No, but I don't think...
It's just the losing.
Yeah, this... And losing is definitely something that can be attributed to it. There's no doubt on that, Ryan, but it's being, you know... Outside of lack of talent and a lot of other things, at least when you're losing, you can lose with some sort of cohesiveness, and I've never seen that. And to me, that's going to be one of the biggest challenges. And I don't put that onus on the coach or GM to come around and say, okay, guys, you guys all got along and feel good about yourself. That's got to come from the players from within.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think you never want losing to be comfortable. It's supposed to be mayhem when you're losing all the time. They're supposed to be pissed off people and guys that are mad at each other, and it's supposed to be uncomfortable for everybody. And more than anything, I think losing maybe got a little bit too comfortable for some of this group. So, yeah, I mean, look, Petrie's, you know, he was part of it. It wasn't a great environment. There was lots and lots of losing. It was a really negative atmosphere, a really negative attitude. So, yeah, he's in a better situation now, and so that reflects in his comments. But I think... I have no doubt that the players in that Oiler locker room, if they start to experience a little bit of success, that any of those symptoms that came from all that losing, I think will probably disappear right away. I think that so much of it was a product of, so much of the negativity was just a product of a lack of success, players being frustrated. They start to taste it a little bit, and they have good players and good men in that room. Like, you're hard-pressed to look through that room and go, not sure about that guy. And that has been the case in the past. There have been guys there where you wonder about the cohesion and if they're detrimental to it. I don't know about you, bud, but I look through that room, and there's some new guys that we don't know all that well. I have a hard time coming across a guy and going, that's a total me guy, and win or lose, he's out for himself and only himself. I think they have... good personalities in that locker room, and I just think they've lost a lot of hockey the last few years.
Ryan Schrock from TSN joins us. What about taking onus into your own hands, like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins did last year? And I don't know where you stand on it, Ryan, but when he fought Hamus, and it just kind of stood up for himself, he looked like a little different player after. Maybe I'm reading into it too much, and I do think at some point the Oilers are one that each individual's got to do it, and then there's more. Patrick Kane doesn't fight anyone. I don't care about fighting, but you watch him in Chicago. He's not afraid. He's cross-checking Bufflin. He'll cross-check other guys because he knows 2 seconds later his teammate's coming in to defend him.
Yeah, and that's the way that it has to be. I mean, Patrick Kane has played most of his career with Brent Seabrook 30 feet away from him, and that's a pretty safe place to be. The Oilers stars have not had that luxury. They have not had the luxury of guys who, whatever happens, they know they can stand up for themselves, and then they'll have guys lined up right next to them. Just hasn't been the way it is. I mean, Jeff Petrie never rushed into a scrum to look after anybody, and he played a ton of minutes here. That's not Justin Schultz's game. There's a number of guys who that's not been their MO. And so, if you're an Oiler forward and you're getting shoved around and fighting isn't your thing, the harder you shove back, the more chances are you're going to get punched in the face. And are you going to have three guys standing right next to you that prevent the fight from happening or at least have your back, right? So there's kind of two sides to it. There's being tough and standing up for yourself and standing up for your real estate and your space. And then there's guys who need to be willing to engage that way, get over the hump, right? Like, they have some players in their lineup who need, I'm sorry, and people think it's archaic of me, but you just got to do it once or twice. And then you realize, you know, you'll probably be okay. Tyler Pitlick is a strong young man. He's, you know, he's not small. He's pretty thick. He can handle himself. And I've been feeling for years now like Tyler Pitlick needs to show the team he's willing to do the tough things to be in the NHL. It doesn't mean he needs to fight every night, but it certainly means he needs to take the opportunity to stand up for his teammates when it presents itself and not be a guy looking to just, you know, head in the other direction. So there's two sides to it, and the Oilers have been lacking on both in a lot of ways.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Cam Talbot gets the start tonight. I know it's just about getting comfortable and everything, but when you look at Winnipeg's roster, I know he's going to play more, and maybe it's not a big deal, but do you think maybe Talbot would be better served to play against, you know, more of an NHL lineup than, like, Winnipeg's barely offering an NHL lineup tonight?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still pretty early for Cam Talbot, so not having to face the aces probably isn't a bad thing. He's still going to face 20, 25 shots. No real danglers, nobody that's going to blow the doors off. So I would say tonight could be a good momentum-building night for Cam Talbot, right? I thought it's his first exhibition game, so I'm not passing judgment. But his first game was just kind of whatever, right? The goal wasn't great. He had a few tough handles of the puck. I don't know if you noticed, the next day in practice, they ran a drill for a good 10 minutes where it was just handling the puck over and over and over from the goaltender to the defenseman. By my count, he had three touches that were a little bit sketchy, so they really worked on that. And that happens. You got a new goalie with a bunch of new defensemen, and the communication needs to be worked out. So I have no problem with them playing him tonight in a bit of a watered-down game from Winnipeg's standpoint, not facing all of the aces. Get comfortable. Be comfortable in front of the home fans, comfortable in that building. I don't mind it at all.
One last one for you, Shogger. What do you think the whole Patrick Kane situation? I know Eric McRamella, the legal analyst for TSN, tapped into it today about, you know, the allegations today from the lawyer of the alleged sexual assault victim, claiming that the rape kit had been tampered with and left on the doorstep of the complainant's mother's home.
That was a bizarre day,
Hank. Very bizarre day. And then the Hamburg police denied claims, saying that they definitely handed over everything. The Erie County police have also denied any wrongdoing. So, you know, I don't know if it ever helps either side when it starts to become more public like this.
No, and the turn that was taken today was this went from a legal process where I know there were some leaks of information in previous days, but it went from a legal process that everybody seemed to generally be fairly respectful of, right? Patrick Kane sort of did his part, said what he had to say, is going about his business, claiming innocence. The other side is going about its business with their investigation and the grand jury and all these things. It's all proceeded fairly normally with a certain amount of respect for the process. Well, today the wheels fell off and it turned into a complete circus. That's what happened today. So guilty, innocent, that's all to be determined. But this went from a serious situation that was being taken, you know, very seriously, and I think people were treating it generally with respect, and the wheels just came off today, and it's a complete circus now after today.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was coming from the complainant's lawyer, and who knows maybe why they're going public. Maybe they feel like they're getting stonewalled or that's going to hurt their case. Obviously, that's why they went public with it. But I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And, you know, that's going to be the interesting thing to see how it impacts, if it impacts anything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you know, one of two things is going to happen here. Either he's going to get charged and then things are significantly different for Patrick Kane from here on forward, and he's going to have to go through a difficult process. And if he is eventually convicted, then, I mean, it'll never be the same for Patrick Kane again, as far as his NHL career goes. But if it goes the other way and they decide not to press charges, and there's still going to be a process for him to have to move on from there too. I mean, this has been a big distraction. And so one way or another, this is going to be a test for Patrick Kane. And you know, whether he's got another 5, 6, 8 years left of good NHL hockey, or whether this ends up being something more significant and more serious, it's a major chapter in the story that has been Patrick Kane, and it's been a story right from the beginning. It's one kind of one thing after another with this guy, this brilliant player who just for whatever reason has had a little bit of a tough time staying on the right side of it. And so we just have to see where this goes, but one way or another, this is a major test for him. And there, and if he is convicted and if he is guilty, that's the least of the suffering that will have happened. But as far as he's concerned, he's going to have to get through this one way or another.
Shauger, did you know what number Eric Greiba wears?
30-something, 38? I don't know.
What do you
wear,
40-something? Oh, 62. 62. That was a trivia question.
62. I knew there was a 2 there somewhere.
The reason I asked that is because Derek guessed 14, which is obviously a terrible guess. Right?
Yeah. Because
Jordan Eberle, I think he's...
That is a bad guess.
Rather noticeable player. And Jack Cookson and the boys at Pro-Am Sports have reached out, and because they have exclusive memorabilia from Eberle.
Okay.
They are going to offer Derek a signed personalized photo of number 14, Jordan Eberle, so Derek knows who wears number 14.
Wow. Wow.
That's awesome.
I mean,
it's good.
You know, being not so smart needs to be rewarding every now and then, I suppose.
Sure. Sure. Nice. So when you watch tonight, Greiba and Reinhart will be a pair tonight. Wearing 62.
And Nurse is going to play with Davidson, is it?
Osterley, yes.
Playing with Osterley.
It's all right hands and left hands on the defense tonight.
Good. Well, it'll be an interesting night. We'll get to see Darnell Nurse and Griffin Reinhart playing in the same game, both knowing they need to do the absolute best they can and stand out however they can. So we'll see if Darnell can resist the temptation to be all over the place. If he can just steady it and play good defense and pick his spots. That's what I'm watching for tonight, knowing there's a guy in the lineup that is right sitting at his place at the table right now.
Shauger, we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, pal. See ya.